Well, we're so glad today to have in Nacogdoches, and we're so glad to have it this weekend as well in our services, Pastor Dathan Tipton from Vicksburg, Mississippi. Brother Tipton, we're so glad you're with us in Nacogdoches. Welcome.
It is an honor to be with you. This is a whole new world for me, and I've been looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Well, today we have an interesting topic that we want to share with you. And if we could give this a title, it's called The New Wild West. And so we want to just step out into this new topic and title, The New Wild West and Frontier that we're facing today. And Brother Tipton, we discussed it today, you and I, and we felt such a great need that is arising in our churches and our church people today across the board. And I'm going to just allow you to just step in at this point and just kind of give us all the information about the new Wild West, this new frontier.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll begin just by pulling out a scripture from Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And then in verse 12, he said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And so there are witty inventions of the 21st century that need to be talked about. And one of those is the internet. And more specifically, in this 21st century, we have social media. And social media is ungoverned. It is untamed. There are a lot of gunslingers, if you will, out there doing what they do. And there's got to be some rules of thumb, some guidelines that help the people of God to navigate this uncharted territory in an ethical way, in a godly way, and in a way that promotes our testimony rather than destroys it and tears it down.
Yes, sir. We're finding that our youth today are growing in a completely different world than we grew up in. And so this is a new frontier, basically, for all of us. And we find that there's a lot of things that are happening that definitely need some attention as far as the church is concerned.
Yes, sir. There's misunderstandings that happen. There's issues that could come up in a church family. And there's been times, I don't know about Nacogdoches, but I do know about Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I can tell you that there's been times when folks will take to social media in order to air their grievance. And it becomes a very public thing. And it becomes a very problematic thing at that point, because people are pulled into choosing a side. And it just creates a Hatfields and McCoys type of atmosphere, which is not conducive for a move of the Holy Ghost. It's not conducive for somebody to come and get their need met and receive salvation. And so we've got to do better. We've got to do better as a church.
Very much so. I find that this growing problem, misunderstanding that is happening among church people, is that the social media is becoming a dangerous territory. I mean, while it can't be a great blessing, it's becoming a detriment in the eyes of so many people. There's definite need of some governing. There definitely need to be something there. There's a lot of time wasted, a lot of things that are happening, hours wasted debating. There's arguments. And this is not just concerning church things, but also politics. There's gossip. And then to bring in certain things and elements in church, it's like these people are very loudly vocalizing things. And what's crazy is this is a platform of arguments, opinion, debate that is loudly broadcasted on a platform that is behind a screen. They're seeing things that they would never see in public.
That's right.
That they could hide behind that screen.
That's right. That's right. It's a false sense of security where you will speak your mind in a much more blunt and a much more audacious way that can get you in a lot of trouble. It can get you in a lot of trouble with God. It can get you in a lot of trouble when it comes to living the life that God's called you to live. Now you've written checks that you are not prepared to cash. You have said things that you really don't mean a lot of the time. You mean it in the moment, but the spirit that it's emanating from is not one that God would approve of. And so it is the wild, wild west, and it's got to be talked through. It's got to be talked about because it's a very real part of our lives today.
Yes, it seems that there's, you know, I think you mentioned today when we were talking that there are self-appointed sheriffs, people that feel that they're the judge. They feel like they're the, I mean, they're becoming almost hang juries and lawless. I mean, unethical things are happening. People saying things, doing things that they have no business to say. And I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up in an era where not everybody owned a dryer and they had a clothesline. And the deal is, you didn't put your clothesline in the front yard. You put it behind the house.
Oh, that's right.
You know, discreetly, you put your clothesline in the backyard. Today, people are hanging out things right there for the world that are not apostolic. They're debating on a platform in front of these people. And there's no discretion. It's like no ethics. They're lawless. And you can't win anybody this way. It's become very backward, and the biblical order seems to be ignored at this. You know, we used to, if you had a problem, you go to that person individually. Yet there's a lot of mobbing, there's a lot of slamming, and all in a sense of trying to prove something spiritually or biblical matter, and it's becoming church people against church people and all this, but the world's watching, and there's no privacy with this. The world is the audience, and you're the one in the arena. So they become foolish in there, and you become the laughing stock of people. And it's a sad situation today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's got to be dealt with. We have got to rise above it. Whenever we decide that we're going to skin a skunk publicly, my Lord, it just really creates a stink, and it gets all over you, and you end up walking away worse in the eyes of those who watched that spectacle that you created. So just because somebody wants to make an idiot of themselves publicly does not mean that I need to go public and try to point out that they're an idiot and correct them. If I do that, I become partner with them in the lunacy and in the idiocy. I'm not interested in that. We just have to rise above it. Jesus was tried on a very public stage. It was a kangaroo court, and it was a bunch of trumped up charges. And there's times when we will be attacked. There's times when our morals will come under fire. There's times when our ethics and even our political preferences will come under attack. We need to take the same tack many times that Jesus took when he was on that public stage, and that is to answer them not a word.
Very much so. And again, this is, I mean, people commenting and doing things. I don't have Facebook, but I have people that come show me things that are just like, wow. I have people brag. They get on the bandwagon on politics, or some people take gossip and, I mean, church-related agendas. And let me just say this, even holiness, outward holiness, all these different things are brought to the arena. And there's people in the world who have no clue. They see this, and they're the audience. They're the audience. The world is the audience. And here is apostolic Pentecostals debating or arguing or sending each other to hell, you name it, all because of issues and yes, lines sir. That people have never been taught, that needs to be taught. We believe in holiness. But whenever we start taking this and knocking each other down, it ceases to be holiness. We can't be holy by being a divided people. There's no instruction in righteousness. There's no teaching, no edifying. It's all where people just foolishly do things. And again, it's just not just with church-related things. It could be gossip. It could be politics and so on. Pastor Tipton, you have addressed this before in your church in a teaching form, and that leads us to this point today. You kind of need to step in that direction of what you have taught and share with us today some governing issues or governing elements to help us.
Well, I called it the Ten Commandments of social media to try to give some folks some direction. The first one is, thou shalt understand that privacy settings will never, ever fully protect thee. You have the feeling and the impression that your privacy settings are going to cover you, and it's designed to give you a sense of security. And really what it does is it makes you less cautious and less careful. These platforms are in business to make money, and many times the way that they make money is by selling your information, not necessarily your identifying information, but they will make money on selling the information about the keywords of the posts that you put up, and they are in the data business, and they collect that data, and it feeds the machine, and it feeds the monster, if you will. And it's being repurposed really far beyond your wildest imagination. And you're going to have to understand that whenever you set privacy settings, that this thing is designed by professionals who do this for a living to give you the illusion of privacy. But there's all kinds of loopholes that they've built in. There's all kinds of gaps that they've put into place intentionally so that they have ways around and they're able to make money that way.
Wow. So really nothing is private on social media.
That's right. That's right. You are one screenshot that's of somebody, maybe somebody that you post about, or somebody, a friend of someone that you post about, or that you go and attack, that make some statements in the heat of the moment. You're one screenshot away from this thing being completely out of your control, out of your hands, and it's gone forever out of your grasp. And you're one screenshot away from bringing a reproach to Jesus Christ and your family and your church and everything that you profess to hold near and dear to your heart. Once you digitize it, man, it's gone.
What a sad situation when people don't realize exactly what they're doing. They're stepping out on thin ice. They're going out on a limb, and way out on the limb. They don't even realize that there's things that are just being pulled into this. And the audience out there, not only the audience, but also those that want to gather that data or that data.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The second thing that I've presented is that you should never, ever post on social media when you are emotional. Your judgment is never more cloudy than when you're angry or sad or stressed out or whatever. You fill in the blank. There is a sense of losing control when we allow emotion to take over. When we start posting on social media and putting our thoughts and our feelings in that moment out there, it can give a false impression of the kind of person that we are to those that are just Facebook friends and really don't know us beyond that. And it can really, you can start to have an online persona and an online social media identifying, factors where you're completely becoming someone that you're not. And this is misrepresenting the truth. This is misrepresenting the gospel. And it's a dangerous thing. The Bible says that we should not yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness, but we should yield ourselves to God and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so when we are feeling emotion, it's time to push the pause button on posting on social media.
So that's so true, brother, because at that moment of emotional rise, people, they leave good judgment behind. Discretion is left behind.
That's right.
Very true.
The third thing that I'll mention in brief is that you need to learn. I'll say it in King James lingo. Thou shalt learn to turn the electronic cheek. You're never going to win a Bible debate on social media. You're not going to convince someone that you're right in front of all their friends and in front of all your friends. You will convince them that you're an ignoramus and petty and childish and immature. You will convince them that they don't want whatever it is that you think you have. Something that I've heard all my life, and no doubt you've heard it too, is that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And so we don't need to start trying to defend ourselves or defend our politicians of choice. We don't need to start trying to defend our friends and step in there. And man, when somebody posts some inflammatory content, don't get pulled into that. If they want to make a fool of themselves, that's their business. But don't you get into that mess with them. Facebook is not the bully pulpit, and we should not be using it as such.
Oh, that is so true. That's not our pulpit. That's not our platform. And where this could be a great avenue of reaching, it has become a avenue of, where people crossing swords, there's division. It's like the Wild West. There's civil war starting where people are just hurting each other. And we're supposed to be the people of God. We're supposed to be representing the kingdom of God and the King of Kings. But at the same time, people are biting, devouring by using this tool. That could be something great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he said, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. So let's not try to set up little kingdoms among fools. Let's let the words of wise men be heard in quiet. And I think that we'll be better served, and the kingdom of God will be better served if we'll just rise above the chatter and the banter and the mindless emotional drivel of fools that are so pervasive in our world.
This is so good, brother.
The fourth thing is thou shalt only post that which is positive, polite, and courteous, and what reflects the fruit of the Spirit in thy life. And so there's got to be a determination that if it's negative, if it's going to be hurtful, if it's going to be something that tries to put somebody in their place, that's not what I'm going to use social media platform for. I am going to, I'm going to add value to people's lives through my posting. My social media posting is not going to be my venue for complaints or for filing protests. If my friends and my family wouldn't want me to talk about it to them in person, then they probably don't want to hear it from me online either. And so I'm not going to air my dirty laundry, but neither am I going to start going up in somebody's laundry basket and getting their dirty laundry and airing their dirty laundry. That's not my place, and that's not going to win friends and be the Christ-like example that I need to be either.
I've heard all my life, too. You've probably heard it. A bulldog could whip a skunk. It's not worth a stink.
That's it.
And how much today it seems that we need to so much practice these things. And this is wonderful, brother. This is needed. And whatever we believe something and truly believe that is, it's something heaven worthy. And it's a treasure. I don't take the treasure and cast it before the swine like a pearl.
That's right.
And next thing, if this is truth and you believe it, if this is heaven worthy, take that light. Don't blind somebody with it. Don't shine in their eyes, but take that light and enhance their walk with God. Build up their walk with God. Turn the light on so they can see instead of just condemning and cutting and chewing and devouring and blinding them.
That's right. That is right. Whatsoever things, what did the Bible say? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's virtue, if there's praise, think on these things. And of course, the things that we're dwelling on are going to be the things that we post and promote. And so if our thought process is right, then this will be right. But this is a safeguard for social media to only post the things that are in line with what the book says we should be thinking about. And then the fifth thing, it says, thou shalt regularly cleanse thine accounts. People go sideways. People go crazy. People that you thought would be a good Facebook friend turn out to be somebody that's just pure poison to the system. And so don't go for quantity. Go for quality. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't be unequally yoked. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And so I understand trying to reach for somebody. But when we are being the ones that are influenced, it's time to make some adjustments to what we're allowing to come across our feed and what we're allowing to come through into our being. We've got to be careful about what we're allowing to influence, because righteousness does not make unrighteousness righteous. I'll say it this way. Cleanliness does not clean uncleanliness, but uncleanliness can defile what is clean.
Yes.
Unrighteousness, by association, can begin to have an issue, create a problem with that is righteous. And so we are called to come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, he said, and I will receive you. And so we've got to be careful about this. And there needs to be times when we say, you know what? That's three strikes. You're out. And it's not a punishment. We cannot do it in the spirit of judgment or punishment, but just I've got to do what's best for me. And I would prefer not to have this come across my life, my screen. And that's a very important thing, that we're going for quantity of quality instead of quantity.
Very much so. Proper maintenance is always better than a major overhaul anyway.
Oh,
and so that's very much, you know, proper maintenance, maintaining this, maintaining a righteous balance and doing what we know is by right, keeping a good conscience and worthy of a good testimony.
Yes, sir. The sixth thing, very quickly, you got to carefully consider your friends and followers. for to others, they are a reflection of you. Those that are connected to you, those that you allow to be associated, you're known by the company that you keep. And there is an online personality that is being developed, and there are judgments and assumptions that are being drawn about you based on those that are connected to you. And so this is something that we've got to be careful of. Again, there's some overlap here, but it's just a good thing to understand that we're known by the company we keep. And show me the five people that you are with the most, and I'll show you who you are in 5 years, 10 years, who you are eventually going to become. I want my social media persona and personality to be what it needs to be. And so I'm going to carefully consider who my friends and followers are. They're reflecting me. And then the seventh thing, you got to remember that personal relationships are infinitely more important than social media. It's unbelievable how many families sit around a dinner table and never even look each other in the eye. Mm. It's incredible to me that entire meals go by and nobody has said a word to each other because they are busy communicating with people who really ultimately care less about them than their own family that they're sitting at the table with. And they're trying to keep them entertained and make everybody else think that they've got it going on. This is crazy to me. Of course, I'm a child of the 1970s, and so it's hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this anyhow. And you need to carefully consider, that your personal relationships and the people that you're with right now, that's who needs your undivided attention. And you don't need to let a device or a screen or some social media platform and posting every 5 minutes about what you're eating and who you're with and where you're at and what you're doing. They don't care. And if they do, that says something about them. You just need to move on and live your life.
Very much so, because it seems that the idol here, the idolatry idol that we're looking at, is everybody wants to put themselves, that, you know, that me God. Look what I'm doing. Look, you know, and where self is being promoted. And hey, what about sitting with your family and visiting? People don't know how to talk anymore, communicate, but they'll have eyes that are square looking at a screen.
Oh,
and we, you know, when I grew up, whenever your eyes were square, it meant you was watching a television and your time was consumed and wasted. We taught against that, and we still teach against that. But today, look at people. They can't even communicate. They don't even know how to talk to each other. They sit around constantly having to check their Facebook, constantly checking these texts. And if you don't text them, they get upset.
Oh.
There's a problem today.
Yes, sir. Hey, I remember writing letters to little girlfriends and even just friend girls and young men that I was friends with and missionary kids, writing letters and having to wait for weeks to get a response.
Yes.
Now we get our feelings hurt as young men and young ladies if we don't get a response within about 5 minutes. And we think, my Lord, something's wrong. They don't want to talk to me anymore. And so there's this pressure to respond immediately. I found this pastoring that someone will send me a text and they're ringing my phone off the hook in about 10 minutes if I don't respond. Sometimes it's just not the right time. Sometimes I'm tied up, tangled up, or sometimes I just need to think it over for a while. And this immediacy, right now, you got to take care of it right now. That is something that really is a self-imposed burden that we need to back out from under and not allow that to be strapped to us. It's a dangerous thing. And then you got people posting their best. That's all they do is they post their best. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to post good things and positive things. But there's a sense of depression that can come.
Yes.
Because my real life can't compete with their make-believe life or what they're presenting to me all the time. And so, we just need to back out from under that and just let that go.
Very much so. I feel that very much people text and they demand a response or they call my cell phone. I am not obligated to answer that cell phone or obligated to give you a text back. My cell phone is not my cell. It's not my prison cell. And most people, their phone has become a ball and weight chain, a chain that they're chained to. And they feel like they have to do that. Can you live without your cell phone? Can you live without texting? Can you go without it? How long can you go without it? Constantly looking at it? And it's becoming a cancer to us. It's becoming something that's eating us from the inside out.
I hear about people going on media fast, social media fast, and that's foreign to me. I cannot comprehend that. I don't understand that. But that just speaks to the addictive nature of this, that people feel convicted about it. And so, it's damaging and hindering, impeding their relationship with God and family. There's relationships that are suffering because of it. And so they feel like they need to lay it down for a period of time. Man, let's just never let it get to that point. Let's just never let it get that far gone that we feel like this thing is controlling us. And so we have to, for a short time, exercise a modicum of control over it. No, let's just maintain healthy guidelines and rules of thumb so that we never, ever, ever get into a place where this thing is overwhelming us.
Definitely.
The next thing, commandment number 8, thou shalt honor proper ethics between you and other churches and other pastors as becoming faithful and committed people of God.
Mm.
This is, I don't want to be too transparent, but I'll be a little bit transparent and tell you that I have had pastors appeal for money with their pet projects going on at their church. Maybe there was some kind of a water pipe busted and insurance isn't going to cover, or they don't have enough for the deductible. And now they're appealing directly to the people in my assembly to send them funds. Missionaries, home missionaries that begin presenting their need and appealing directly to that. I don't know about that, brother. That used to not be something that was possible. If there was going to be people that gave, it was by pastor's permission. And now, all of a sudden, with social media, it's fair game to do this? I don't think that the technology should dictate what is ethically right and wrong. I think that our ethics should be imposed on social media, not social media adjust and morph and twist into the shape of a pretzel our ethics. And so we need to honor proper ethics and do things right. And this requires a greater level of self-control. Social media, the freedom, the benefit, the tool of it, the good things that can come from it are all there. But there is also a danger. A hammer can be used to build something constructive if it's used properly, but it can also tear down if it's used in an improper fashion. And so keeping proper ethics in place is a way of keeping this tool something that is beneficial and positive, and that it does not become something that is detrimental to our relationship with God, our relationship with our pastor, and everything done in a decent and orderly way.
That watchman on the wall, that pastor, that shepherd, is not there just to micromanage everything and to put his thumb on people. But there's some things you see and things that you know as a pastor that your sheep don't know.
And that's right.
There's these ministries or ministers or people, supposedly ministers, that are floating around that some of them are in adultery, some are in things that they're not supposed to be in, and they come with the guise of ministry. And some of them, that they'll float right through and make an appeal, and you think, oh, that's so-and-so. And you don't understand what they're doing. You don't understand where they've been. And they'll come across the boundaries. And even other pastors that may have a legitimate need, they're circumventing the ethical order of authority. It needs to come and do that. Because what happens is, there's sometimes a local church may have a need, but yet we're given to this one, we give to that one.
Yes, sir.
And it's kind of like when I was a kid, there was a lot of television evangelists and radio evangelists, and people were sending their money to these radio evangelists. And my dad made a statement one time, and he said, that man on that radio that you're paying your tithes to, he won't come pray for you at the hospital. He won't be there to help you when your yes. children are in need. He's not going to be there at your graveside or your funeral to preach your funeral. Why send your tithes to somebody? He's a thief.
Yes, sir.
Because he's taken, but he's not given to you. Thank God for the man of God that watches over your soul. Remember, God put him there. Don't let something bypass that order of authority that God has set up.
Pastor Crosswhite, that is so right. There's been times when men who someone in my church thought they knew, and at one time they did know, but there's been change that came. There's been a fall from grace, if you will, that came, and they end up supporting something that if they knew what they were supporting, it would appall them. And that's why you have this man of God in your life. It's just a better way to go, and it keeps you from moving down paths that you should not move down. And there's plenty more to say to talk about in this, but just remember, and I believe that we both love the work of God. I believe that we both are philanthropic, and we have a heart of a giver. We're not out for ourselves and trying to create fences and build set lines of demarcation that funnel everything to us. That's not the motive here. It simply is for the protection of everyone involved. We want to do what's right for the kingdom. There are, as you just said so well, it is very important that we give to where the need is greatest, and that we do what is best. That's what stewardship's all about, that we do what is best with what has been entrusted to us. And having your man of God involved in that process is the right thing to do. And then number 9, thou shalt limit thine time each day spent on social media. Again, this comes down to the addiction factor. And I'll just say that oversharing is worse than not sharing at all.
It's good.
We would all have different standards of what oversharing is. And I would just say to you, play it extra safe. If you're posting more than 3 things in a given day, and as far as I'm concerned, this is just me, man, you're bumping the line. The average teenager sends about 3,000 text messages a month.
3,000?
3,000.
Wow.
That's at the time of this, a few years ago, whenever I began to do some research on all of this social media stuff. It was 3,000 text messages a month. And so, and then constantly scrolling through, looking at feeds, and giving likes, and all of this stuff. And Psalms chapter 106, verse 39 says, they were defiled with their own works, and they went a-whoring with their own inventions. We've just got to back off a little bit and say, I'm not going to let this control me. I'm going to post some positive things throughout the week, perhaps a few times a week, to try to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody. But I'm not going to overshare. I'm going to keep my life my life, and I'm going to keep my priorities in place. I'm not going to let social media control the direction that I go with all of these things.
It's very good. It's amazing that there's some people that are controlled by all these different elements. It's important in our hour that we have that governing ability to watch and stay balanced.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's got to be there. It's got to be there. Otherwise, the Wild West is something that we fall prey to rather than navigating successfully through it and getting out on the other side in one piece. The 10th and final of the 10 commandments of social media is, thou shalt not take thy self-worth or value from the number of friends or followers that you have. This is a goofy way to get your self-esteem.
Yes.
But there's so many, you know, there is an actual thing, dopamine and serotonin and all of these things in the brain. These platforms, if you'll dig in beyond just this podcast, you will find that these platforms are designed to release these pleasure chemicals in the brain. That when you get a like, or when somebody gives you a thumbs up, or whatever, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but that it releases this chemical in your brain and it causes you to feel like you're somebody. And man, that somehow I matter to all of these people because they gave me a thumbs up or a like. That's a shallow, shallow well to draw from. I'm just going to say it. It's not a sign of power. It's not a sign of influence. It's a sign that you're desperate for meaning and purpose in your life. And you got to back off a little bit and say that, you know, I'm somebody. I was somebody before I got on Facebook. I was important to some key people in my life before I ever had an Instagram or a Twitter following. No, I'm not gonna let all of this rule me and control me and get my self-esteem and my self-worth from the thumbs up that I get. That's craziness. And just back off, move forward, live life. Everything's going to be all right.
Very much. It seems that people want to be validated today. And not everything that comes and validates you is wholesome.
Wow.
Self-validation, all these things that try to validate you, pick you up, lift you up. It's kind of like the Tower of Babel. He who builds his tower too tall will fall. I mean, they're going to fall on their head. Validation is all these likes and stuff doesn't mean that you're right. Even though the crowd is cheering you on, sometimes you'll make a fool out of yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you brought up the Tower of Babel. Could it be that social media is the modern day Tower of Babel? It has made the whole world smaller. Everybody's in a few fingertip clicks away from one another. Everybody's connected. Everybody's attached to one another. And it's something that needs to be dismantled. It's something that needs to be deconstructed. That's why less is more when it comes to social media. And when it comes to the followers, the people that you're connected to, we've got to get away from this idea of being everybody's friend and everybody being our friend. You're creating a Tower of Babel, and it is going to cause you to fall on your head, and it's going to mess you up. It's going to confuse you. We all like to think that we're the smart one in the room, but none of us is above being influenced. Men are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud. all of these things you see prevailing on social media. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, all of these things that Paul warned Timothy about. In 2 Timothy, we see this prevailing on social media. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But he said, from such turn away. We don't need to hold our nose and just keep allowing our spirit to be saturated in all of these things through social media. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. And then in Proverbs chapter 12, a fool's wrath is presently known. You see this on social media all the time. They're going to make it known right now. But a prudent man covereth shame.
Covereth shame.
There needs to be more of this on social media, a covering of embarrassing things, a removing of the dirty laundry from our own front yard and not putting other people's. We're going to be people who cover shame. And it's an important thing that we do as the people of God to reflect the Word of God and the God of the Word that we serve and that we love so much.
Brother Tipton, I think you have hit the nail on the head today in helping us. Discretion is still in order today in our generation. I want to say thank you for being with us here at Apostolic Lighthouse in Nacogdoches and being with us this weekend in our services, Dynamic Move of the Holy Ghost. But today, we have addressed some issues that we're facing. And with this platform and that people are making, and it seems like it is growing, the influence, problems and stuff. Well, at the same time, what could be a great, great blessing has become a detriment. This new Wild West, this new frontier. Let us bring the gospel. Let us bring the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Brother. We appreciate you for being with us.
It's been an honor to be with you. God bless you, Brother Crosswhite.